Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and with me now, Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino on the approval of a new Tappan Zee Bridge design and with a response to yesterday's appearance here by Deputy Secretary of HUD Maurice Jones. Astorino is resisting an agreement with a federal court order over desegregated affordable housing. County Executive, I always appreciate it. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. And when we get into the housing, I'm going to explain why we're not resisting. We're abiding by the settlement, but we have some very big disagreements with the interpretation and what the charges are of the federal government and what we're actually doing. But we'll get into that in a minute. That's a tease.
Right. As a former radio professional, right. You know how to do a tease. But so let's do that right now. And for people who are not up on this issue, and correct me if you think I'm characterizing this wrong, the county entered into this agreement with the court in 2009 to repeal zoning laws that discriminate against multifamily dwellings, seen as a surrogate for race and class, and to stop discriminating against tenants based on their source of income, Section 8 vouchers, for example. But you vetoed the bill to implement the agreement. But you don't accept that characterization.
No, almost the entire 38 pages of the settlement has to do with building housing.
That was the third piece, 750 new units, right?
That was basically the central theme of the housing settlement. What I would encourage people to do is to go on westchestergov.com. On the homepage, bottom right, look up and click on housing settlement. In the first paragraph, you click on read the settlement. It's 38 pages. But I think what people will come away with an understanding of really what we were dealing with. And then there's, on the ninth paragraph, the May 13th letter from HUD, which really goes way beyond the settlement and tries to demand that the county do things that, by their own admission, is, quote, beyond the four corners of the settlement and breaking the deal and trying to force us to do things that would be extraordinarily expensive for our taxpayers and would, in essence, rip up all local zoning laws and force the county to sue our own municipalities to do that. But the central theme of this, and which I'm very proud of, even though you didn't mention this, but as a candidate in 2009, I was not in favor of the settlement because of the terms of the settlement. How the settlement was written, I understood back then that we were going to be dealing with as a county for many years to come because it was going to be very hard to do. The central theme, though, is 750 units of fair and affordable housing in our 31 eligible communities. And eligible is defined by the 2000 census of 7% or less of the population in a community being Hispanic and 3% or less African American. So there are then 31 eligible or mostly white communities. Now, we are working with those communities and have been. We've had over 350 meetings so far with community leaders, housing advocates, environmentalists, financing, developers, of course, local officials. And because of that cooperative way that we're dealing with our local municipalities and everybody, we are well ahead of schedule for actually building affordable housing in these communities.
And that, of course, is the part that's not contentious here, at least the number, 750 new units of affordable housing. But there are these two other big pieces that are more contentious that are supposed to develop a lot more units than that through the private sector. So let me play you a clip on the item of multifamily units. Here is Secretary Jones from yesterday's show.
What we've asked the county to do is to take a look at local ordinances that actually might be discriminatory in effect against local firefighters, local teachers, local police officers, local emergency first responders. You know, these are the families that we are trying to work our hardest for to ensure that they have a fair opportunity to live and work in Westchester.
And the context that he sees this in regionally is this.
Nassau County passed a law in 2000. New York City passed the same law in about 2008. The state of New Jersey passed this kind of law in 2002. And the state of Vermont passed this kind of law back in 1987. So there are dozens of these laws on the books around the country.
So, County Executive, what's your response to that?
Okay, so there's a couple things that Secretary Jones said that are utterly incorrect. Number one, he talked about, as you played in that clip, that the settlement is about reaching out to local workers, firefighters, police officers, teachers, et cetera.
By which he means people who might need to live in multifamily housing rather than the single-family homes. Right?
Correct. And most communities have already done that. But this settlement strictly prohibits preferences for local residents, such as firefighters, police officers, teachers, EMS workers, etc. In fact, as part of the settlement, and this is one of the terms that I completely disagreed with, but we're complying, is that we have to spend $400,000 out of taxpayer money to specifically market residences that we're building, so the housing that we're building, to minority populations outside Westchester County. So we have to have our own local firefighters, police officers, teachers that you just mentioned and that he mentioned, or residents in Westchester who do need this housing. They've got to compete now with people who are not from Westchester, who never have been part of the community. And I have a big disagreement with that, but we're complying because that is very clear and that's in the settlement. With regard to exclusionary zoning, this is where we do disagree, because it's very clear under New York State law that local communities are given the right, under the home rule of New York State Constitution, the right to zone and plan their communities. The county has no zoning at all. What is at stake here is, number one, the New York State Constitution and local law, whether or not home rule does exist. And two, we have done an exhaustive analysis, as is required and as we were asked to do, of all 853 separate zoning districts throughout Westchester County. And what we have found, but that wasn't good enough, so we actually hired at their request John Nolan, who is a very well-known professor and really the guru of zoning and planning, and he's at Pace University. He's the guru of affordable housing. He looked at it from a zoning and planning perspective as well as a legal perspective, and he reached the same conclusion that the county did, that there is no exclusionary zoning in Westchester's municipalities. Now, what is exclusionary zoning? That would mean that each community fails to have in its laws and in its zoning codes areas in its community for higher density housing, for affordable housing.
But the federal government seems to feel very strongly that that is the case.
Well, but this is the problem. They want us to reach a conclusion that does not exist. We're the fourth most diverse county in New York State. Westchester, by the way,
but very segregated, right? Most of the people of color live in New Rochelle and Mount Vernon and a few other places.
Well, that's not necessarily true. We have had a 56% increase over the last decade in those 31 eligible communities naturally, not with a gun to our head by the federal government, but through natural market forces. People of any color choose to live where they choose to live, and more importantly, where they can afford to live. I cannot live, Brian, in Chappaqua, where the Clintons and Governor Cuomo live. We have an affordable housing project, by the way, that is right next or close to the train station, that meets all the criteria under the settlement, and yet the federal government does not want us to proceed with this affordable housing settlement.
Why would they be so vociferous about it if there's no problem?
Well, with regard to zoning?
Correct.
Well, you're looking at their perspective. They've also charged, by the way, that the county is discriminatory, segregated, and even worse. Yet, if you look at the settlement, and it was a settlement, it was not a court order, both sides agreed for various reasons in 2009 that they would reach an agreement, a settlement. There was no admission of guilt or, and more importantly, no finding of fact by the federal government or anyone else. Yet, this is the only story that is perpetuated by the federal government, that Westchester somehow is absolutely discriminatory and segregated. Yet they cannot defend the fact that two separate analyses proves them wrong. And we've asked them multiple times, if there are instances, if you know of areas in Westchester which are please bring it to our attention, and we'll go forward with it.
Let me play a clip of a caller from yesterday. This is a homeowner not in Westchester but in the Bronx who called in to sympathize with your position. Listen to what he said about his own experience.
This is very politically incorrect, but I bought property here in the South Bronx in the 1990s because it was very affordable, and it was the right decision for me. But me and my neighbors are in constant fights, struggles with essentially low-income people, with graffiti, with litter, with noise, with antisocial behavior. And again, I know a lot of people are going to play the race card with this, but I'm black. And I sympathize with people who don't want a bunch of low-income people and the social problems that come with it moving in on them. I know that's not politically incorrect, but it is realistic.
So, County Executive Astorino, is that the kind of thing at the heart of it that you're trying to protect middle and upper income Westchester homeowners from?
No, there are two issues here. Number one, as we were just talking about the exclusionary zoning, the May 13th letter that HUD sent to us last year, which, again, I hope people go on westchestergov.com and read it, it's very forthright in what they're trying to do. When you boil it down, HUD wants no restrictions whatsoever in zoning codes for height, for density, for acreage, for water or sewer availability, et cetera. So anything like that in any zoning code should be stripped out, and so government-subsidized housing can and should be in any neighborhood. That goes against the Berenson decisions way back in 1975, which really sets the parameters for planning and zoning in New York State, and says on a regional basis, communities must provide affordable housing. Westchester has been doing that for many, many years. We've won a ton of awards from Republican and Democratic administrations in Washington. We're very proud, by the way, of the affordable housing that we've built in this county over the years, of our diversity and all of that. That's a good thing. But what is bad is the federal government or bureaucrats in Washington dictating terms to local communities on how communities will be built and who will live where, et cetera. That's way out of bounds, and that is nothing like that in this settlement. And the facts don't support their conclusions or where they want us to go. With regard to Section 8, the program itself is fine. I have no issues with the program. In fact, we have far more applicants for Section 8 than we have vouchers from the federal government. So the issue is not going to create more Section 8 vouchers. It has nothing to do with this. The issue, when you boil it down, is there is one line in the settlement that says the county executive shall promote source of income legislation currently before the Board of Legislators. This was 2009. A previous board, a previous county executive, and if they wanted laws adopted, they would have, just like they did throughout the settlement, put shall adopt, shall sign. This was, by all accounts, including the previous county executive who signed this, this was sort of a throwaway line. There was legislation at the time, which he did send down to the Board of Legislators, but that died. That legislation died in 2009, just like it would in Congress or New York State, action was taken.
But does that mean that your legal obligation to promote this idea rather than oppose it legally valid?
That's exactly what's at the heart here, because basically what the federal government is saying, that in perpetuity, any county executive, including successors, and I'm one of them, must sign anything that comes in front of them, whether they like it or not. And that takes away the authority that I have as an elected official. I have also spoken to many housing advocates and developers, and they have said if they're going to what is now a choice that they have, and by the way, Congress has never passed a law. Governor Patterson vetoed similar legislation in New York State. If they're going to be compelled to do business, this is not a dollar bill you're accepting. When you take Section 8 from the federal government as a private property owner, you then have all the rules and regulations and contract and fines that go with it and paperwork. Some choose to do that. That's fine. Others choose not to, and that should be their right as well. And this would take it from a choice to make it compulsory for a private property owner to do business with the federal government. And I've had developers say, if that's the case—
To not discriminate against individuals who are paying for their housing that way.
No. That's not it. It's whether or not you do business with the federal government. Because they don't you know, Social Security, pensions, none of that, that's fine. But this is a separate issue. This is taking money from the federal government, and you could see what happened when Westchester took money from the federal government. If a private property owner is compelled to take money and do business with the federal government, it sets up something completely different.
We've spent almost all our time on this because it's really complicated. So I want to get to the Tappan Zee Bridge in our last couple of minutes. My guest, Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino. So on perhaps a happier note, the Tappan Zee Bridge, last time you were on, you weren't convinced that the design was sufficiently forward-looking without the infrastructure for dedicated rail and bus rapid transit lines. But when push came to shove, you voted for the plan, and your vote was required. Tell us why.
Well, because in July, New York Metropolitan Transportation Council, which I have a vote on, it's got to be unanimous to move this forward for federal loans. There was no public information out. The environmental impact statement was not done. Nobody knew about the financing or the cost, and certainly mass transit was an afterthought, and the governor was not going to include mass transit in the bridge. I said I would not support it unless mass transit was part, so we can cut down on pollution, give people transit options, be able to grow this region economically. And so until I got an agreement from the governor last week that mass transit, as far as dedicated bus lanes on the bridge, and then over the course of 1 year, we, and I'm on this panel now, are going to look at options for either a bus rapid transit system or maybe, which is a much bigger project, rail, to give options for Westchester and Rockland. That was very critical. And once that was approved by the governor in writing and in public, then I could go forward, and that's what we did.
Is there a bicycle and pedestrian lane on the new bridge?
There will be, yes.
And there we leave it with Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino. I know some bikers who are going to be very happy about that, and some commuters who are going to be very happy about the larger number of lanes. So that's not until 2017. However, County Executive Rob Astorino, thank you for coming on with us.
Anytime, Brian. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.